We're going to continue the show now with our monthly check-in, Bridging the Gap, presented by the Orange Partnership, where on the first Friday of each month, we meet local partners working together to close the communication gap between parents and their children and help all young people in our community live healthy and productive lives. And this month, we are visiting with Shannon Perry Smith, Outpatient Clinical Director at Freedom House. So first of all, Shannon, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Wonderful to be here.
And we also have with us the Program Director for Orange Partnership, Guyanne Chambliss. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And let's kind of get into the overview first. Orange Partnership's a local coalition working for healthy communities and has focused its efforts on enhancing protective efforts that could reduce the likelihood of young people turning to substance abuse, which I love, actually, because it's oftentimes when we have these conversations, it seems like the entry point is like late, right? It's like down the road where there's already abuse happening or there's already some issue that's presented itself. And what the Orange Partnership is working toward is putting young people in a position where they don't find themselves wanting to go down that road in the first place. So let's get into each of you and like how you help support that work. So if we'll start with Shannon, if you could just tell us a little bit about what you do and and how you got involved with the Orange Partnership.
Yes. So I am currently the program director at Freedom House CHOC, the Chapel Hill Outpatient Center, and we partner with Orange Partnership.
And Guyanne.
So I've been with Orange Partnership first myself as a program coordinator and then was appointed to program director. But I've been with the organization for over 14 years. It's been amazing to see where we've been and where we have, where we are now. And a lot of what we are focusing when we look at going upstream, as you said, the root causes, and a lot of it is around mental health. So this month is really important to us, especially as kids are going back to school and they're excited. But as the school year progresses and stressors and tests start kicking in, that we're aware of how to help our kids.
That's right. We already had my kids in sixth grade. He already had some standardized tests yesterday. It's already happening. So.
Yep.
So it's we're getting deep into it already. You mentioned this month in particular being important. September is Suicide Prevention Month. So let's talk about the mental health of teens and young people in our community. What kind of factors contribute to poor mental health in young people, and what effect does that have on their lives?
Yes. So some things that I'm going to mention is the first one is stress, right? So there's so much stress, believe it or not, that our youth is actually going through right now, especially coming from COVID and everything has changed. It can be adjustment from middle school to high school to college. Another one is violence and abuse, right? So sometimes at home, we definitely see things within our parents, within the household. So a lot of this stuff is environmental, right? And then we have poor living conditions, peer support, or peer pressure, academic stress, and of course, you know, school has just started, so a lot of, you know, youth may be really stressed out at this point. Genetics, you know, a lot of times, you know, mental health is actually a genetic thing. It's hereditary. And other traumas that typically happen. And so this typically can cause a lot of anxiety, depression, PTSD, and substance use. So.
And this is why it's so important. And it's really interesting as we work with youth in the schools, and in particular through our ADAPT program, the Youth Empowerment Program, one of the things that we learned from them as they were conducting what we would call qualitative data collection through interviewing is that many may be involved in what we would consider as adults healthy activities, sports, bands, you know, extracurricular activities. But those too can become a stressor, especially when you have to think about going to school all day, then going to practice, and then having to come home and do homework assignments, and if they also have a job outside of that. So it builds, and our young people may not be as equipped as adults to manage that. So how can we support them?
It's also tricky because it's such an individualized thing, right? Yes. Like it's, I mean, this is why the conversation has to be partially directed at parents, right? Is because like nobody knows your kid like you do, exactly. Hopefully. And it's going to be different for each kid. It's also different culturally, right?
Yes,
it could be different for folks in different circumstances and from different backgrounds. When should someone seek intervention for someone they're concerned about, and where should they turn for help if they feel like that's something they need to do?
So as soon as possible. I know a lot of schools have it now where they have the laptops, and anytime they even research suicide or talk about suicide, they automatically are alerted, right? So that's the best thing ever. Also, when they start talking about plans of suicide, especially if you have friends, like really good friends, like that's something to look out for. And for parents, if their moods start to change, like really irritable, really angry, being combative, anything like that, any behavioral issues, right? And some other things is just, it can also be emotionally, like crying a lot, feeling like super depressed. And one thing I would definitely say, and I know mental health is always stigmatized, but listening to your kids when they are, you know, when they're reaching out and trying to talk to you, definitely listen, because that's the best thing you could possibly do.
And being able to be aware of what the signs to look for, you just mentioned a number of them. And if they're approaching their friends, a lot of times young people don't know how to respond to that, and they're going through their own stuff. So as adults, you know, whether it's the parents or somebody else in the family, who is that trusted adult that they can go to? And they might not feel comfortable with a parent, but supporting them. And there's a training, actually, that is called QPR. It stands for Question, Persuade, and Refer. It's actually, it's the chain of survival. It's sort of like CPR, and we all know about CPR. Well, for mental health, it might be QPR, and this training teaches people how to recognize those early warning signs of suicidal thought, how to offer hope, but also how to connect to the resources and help save a life. And so for people who don't know what they might do or say in that situation, QPR is really important training, and it's going to happen here this month in Orange County. I will just say, first of all, that we have an organization called Orange Resilience Initiative. It started through four different coalition members, Department of Health, Department of Human Services, Alliance, and Orange Partnership. And it's about building these trainings. And through the Orange County Health Department, there's at least six different trainings happening this month, and QPR is one of them. So you can go on to the Orange County Health Department to learn more.
That is the voice of Guyanne Chambliss, Program Director for Orange Partnership. We're also joined by Shannon Perry-Smith, Outpatient Clinical Director at Freedom House. And this is Bridging the Gap, presented by Orange Partnership. We don't actually have a whole lot of time left, but this month, Orange Partnership's working with coalition partners to provide those trainings you told us about. Tell us again how people can register for those.
So on the Orange County Health Department website, they have a list of the different trainings, including mental health first aid, community resilience building, which is a huge effort of the coalition. If we can do early interventions and go even further to build resiliency as young as possible. And then also the QPR training. There's also a breakfast that's coming specifically around community resilience. All that information is on the Orange County Health Department, or you can contact Marcy Williams at the Orange County Health Department.
Mm-hmm. Shannon and Guyanne, thank you both for being here. Any other thoughts before we wrap up?
Yes, I have one more thing. So we do have the hotline 988, right? And so if you are experiencing any thoughts of suicide, please reach out. And also with Freedom House Recovery, we do have mobile crisis. And it's 24/7, and so you can give them a call, and I can give it to you now. The number is 866-275-9552.
It's the voice of Shannon Perry-Smith. We are also visiting with Guyanne Chambliss. Thank you for tuning in to Bridging the Gap, presented by Orange Partnership, a community collaborative working to close the communication gap between parents and their children so all young people can live healthy and productive lives. Find more information at orangepartnership.org. And thank you both for being here. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.